It's The Bill Murphy Show. A daily one-on-one 30-minute interview featuring people from all walks of life. Available daily as a podcast at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
How about that? We are bringing you the Thursday, June 3rd podcast. We're 3 days into this, and once again, I'd like to say thanks to everyone who's shown such great support for this show and gotten it off the ground with such a bang. We're bringing the idea is to bring you random people every single day, people from just all walks of life, everyday normal people, because everybody's got an interesting story to tell. And occasionally we'll bring you the big celebrity. This guy that's with me today is falls somewhere in between. And it's the first time we're reaching from coast to coast as we go all the way to California and welcome my old friend, Matt West. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good, Billy. It's good to hear your voice, man. You sound like you haven't lost a beat in years.
That's the idea. This is sort of like a gym for me to work out the chops. You know, it's been a while, and I've gotten a little anxious to get back into it. So, you know, it's a way to kind of work on the chops and just do the natural kind of let's see how it goes kind of thing. And on that note, we have not spoken to each other in a long, long time, and I wanted this whole reintroduction with each other to be sort of spontaneous. And you never know where that's going to go. It could be a train wreck, which is just as fun to listen to as anything else. Or it could be highly informative and entertaining. So let's start by saying that the last time we worked together was 1996. Is that how you remember it?
I think so. I think I remember the last time we worked directly together. We were at She in Miami, and there was this huge house cleaning thing where like everybody was shown the door except for me and Julie Guy and Dave Stewart, who was then the PD at the time.
Right.
Everybody else was shown the door. But then I remember afterwards when we got picked up by Paxson and then Clear Channel, I think, weren't you around doing some stuff for I guess it was Big 106 at the time, sort of in and out of there?
It was a lucky year for me, and then I got the summer off, and I ended up resurfacing, I guess, that September or so with Big 106. It was just making the transformation from classic hits into the classic rock that it is today. And you know, with all due respect to them, they've become a pretty much a classic rock legend down here. And I was happy to be part of the beginning of that, too.
How long were you doing the Big 106 thing? Because I left in 98 to go move on to New Orleans. How long did you stay there?
That lasted till about 2001, actually the week after 9/11. And then I went back there for a short time, 03, 04-ish or something like that, but it wasn't the same situation. It wasn't the same people, obviously. And so I've kind of just been having a Captain Freelance decade, let's put it that way. That's how I'm pegging myself now. So it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I know that you can relate to that kind of lifestyle because you, being the very creative person you are, we have some sort of parallels in the business. And you know what it's like to not really have the routine per se every day, and every day becomes an adventure. Is that still how you're living your life out there in Cali?
It's actually how my life has been for the last 3 months. I was just up until February, I was a production executive at a digital media startup.
That sounds impressive.
We were doing online video. We were doing digital video, web content. I was running their entire video production arm. And prior to that, I had just managed to, you know, kind of pick up staff jobs in the last couple years before that. So prior to the startup, I was working with CNN. Before that, I had a staff position at KCBS TV out here.
Nice.
And freelanced for a couple years before that. But this whole thing where, you know, for the last 3 months, I've been trying to figure out, you know, do I want to go back to work for somebody? Do I want to go to work for a conglomerate? Do I want a staff job, or do I want to do my own thing? Has been it's been a real eye opener, and it's been really humbling at the same time too. I've learned a lot just being on the beach and not knowing what tomorrow is going to be like.
I'm right there with you, brother, and I can tell you from experience, at least at the startup of this thing, deciding to go ahead and do something on my own, and you know, with all the career and all the years of broadcasting invested in it, it's so rewarding. And I'll tell you, I've never been more excited about anything that I've done as I have about this. Although financially, who knows? That's the mystery, to see where it leads financially. But for now, it's creatively, it's rewarding. And again, to reconnect with folks like you and bring a different subject to the table every day and talk to a different person, it's challenging and it's exciting. And I know how you feel. And, you know, all I can say is in the business that we're in and with people like you and me, to just become your own person and do your own thing is, I've been told this by a million people before, but never really had the guts to go ahead and do it. But it's a very cool thing. So,
and you never know how those things are going to turn out either. I mean, it's like you have, we're kind of, you know, very fortunate to live in a time where, you know, access to the kinds of tools that you could really only have if you were working for a conglomerate or somebody else had invested that money.
Yep.
You know, that was the only way that you could get access to it. But now, I mean, look at you. You've built your own studio. I've got a studio working in my place here in L.A.
Right.
And it's affordable and it's doable, and you can turn out world-class work if you put in the effort. So, you know, to be able to strike out and be successful or have a shot at being successful, it's anybody's game right now.
That's precisely why I'm having you on here today, buddy, to talk about that thing. And this is evolved from a time, now 1996, if you think about it, and Al Gore takes credit for inventing the internet. But I mean, in 1996, Matt, you were the one person I knew at the time that actually was educated about the internet, knew what WWW meant. And dude, to this day, I think about you every time I type in a link, because you told me http://www. was the intro to a website. I remember that conversation you had with me, and I'm just amazed that it was 1996. Now, you, where were you getting your research? Where were you getting your information, and how were you so ingrained in the internet at, ridiculous infancy stage at the time?
You know, it was funny. My best friend in college was a computer sciences major, and I took classes at the University of Tampa. That's where I was enrolled for my undergraduate studies. But I had to take some classes over at the big state school over at USF, and they had email. They had access to email and computers and an intranet and an internet. And it was like in college in like 1994, where you could send an email message to somebody, you know, and that was really kind of my first taste of it. But always, you know, I was really fortunate to have a friend who was in the business of building, you know, small companies and larger companies, you know, intranets, and then, you know, getting them onto a data pipeline where they could do internet.
Right.
I was lucky to be at the forefront of it when it was really geeky and, you know, not slick like it is now. I mean, you know, think about the way a web page looked in 1996.
I can't even remember seeing a web page in 1996. I don't think AOL existed at the time. And meanwhile, all the rest of your friends are going, "What's an email?" And I was like, wow, this Matt guy, he really knows what he's talking about with this stuff. And you amazed me with some of the conversations that we had. And then it all came to fruition and got together and started working, I mean, probably 3 or 4 years later before it became a household word. And you were talking about the tools earlier. You know, for anybody out there that's thinking about doing stuff and the internet has seemed too complicated for you, now we are just coming into a time where everything is becoming so user-friendly, because the people writing the codes and the programs are now getting to a point where their work is so intense that the end product that they're coming out with becomes very, very easy for the end user. For instance, I posted this podcast website myself with nobody else's help, a little trial and error. You read a manual now and then, you go to the help column and just read whatever it is you're having a problem with, and you can, if you have the patience and you have the determination, you can figure it all out yourself. And I mean, to try to do it 15 years ago or in 1996 would have been just ridiculous. It would have been classes that I wouldn't have understood, but it's a whole different time now.
It's funny too, because, you know, the more and more you play around with a website too, the more and more you end up having to sort of get, you know, down to the code level. You've got to get down to that, you know, the actual coding. And that's something I never wanted to do.
Me either.
I did that for years. Like, dude, you know what, leave that to some nerd in Lahore or Mumbai to do the coding. But the funny thing is, you know, I run my own blog, and I've, you know, being a part of a company where the focus of all of our content was online. You know, ultimately, you have to get under the hood and do the tweaking with the motor yourself. And the funny thing is like, if you do it a little bit and you learn just a little tiny bit, it's kind of like that line in The Matrix where they talk about, like, yeah, all I see is blonde, brunette, redhead.
Right.
When they're, you know, early on, what was that, 1998 that movie came out?
I think it was before that, right?
I can look at it now. I can look at HTML coding now and go, oh, yeah, okay, there's the fix. That's the little tweak I wanted to do to make that front end look, oh, it's perfect.
No, not me. In fact, last night, or when I was actually putting together a part of my site, of course, we're taping this program ahead of time, so actually, in reality, it would have been last week sometime. I was trying to figure out how to put the PayPal button in the on an iWeb web page, which doesn't work like normal web pages. So I thought, oh wow, this is going to require cutting and pasting code, and I can't do that. And I almost gave up and called, you know, one of the IT guys that we've made friends with over the years, and I'm going to have to pay somebody now. Now I'm getting to a point where I'm going to have to pay somebody. But just a little bit more reading and a little Googling. And the Googling is great because you end up on some forum where someone has discussed the exact same question you're asking, and there's an answer right there for you. And I found it, posted it, and, you know, 2 hours later, it was up without me having to spend a dime except of my own time. So that's just one example of how that stuff works.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you have to have the sort of confidence in yourself, and if you lack the confidence, you have to at least be unafraid,
right?
Unafraid to try, unafraid to look into it. You know, the worst thing that you're going to do is waste an hour of your time,
right,
and not find an answer. But you have to be willing to try. You have to be unafraid of just getting into it and realizing, you know, once you open the hood, it's really not that complicated.
And when you look back over
simple stuff,
when you look back over the years and think about hours of time that we've wasted doing much less productive things, it just becomes much easier to deal with. You've got a very impressive website that you do your blogging on. It's rawcreative.com, and it's that's K instead of C. And I've been on that thing a few times, and it's very very high tech looking, and just something I would definitely expect from you. What's going on in that site, and is this an outlet for you to talk a little bit about and elaborate what Raw Creative is?
You know, it's funny. I really don't know what it is anymore, Bill.
Well, that makes it even more fun, doesn't it?
You know, the funny thing is I've had that domain name since Jesus. I don't even know. I think I might have actually had that domain name since before I moved to Miami to work with She back
wow.
in 1995. And it, you know, it was one of those things. It was like the mid-90s, man. Let's, you know, anybody can buy a domain name for $20. It was
right.
So like freewheeling back then. I was like, oh, cool, 90s rock and create. You know, I thought I was way more clever than I was at the time. It's like, oh, I'm going to come up with this production company name. And, you know, it's been the bane of my existence, because whenever you have to give somebody your email address, you're like, hold on, let me spell it. R-A-W-K. It's
right.
Unbelievably stupid. But, you know, I've had it for so many years now, and it's just been one of those kinds of things where I guess in the last 6 months or so, you know, everything I've ever done creatively has always been on somebody else's platform.
Right.
So it's always been, you know, for CNN or for CBS or for this website or for that blog or whatever. And it's always been under somebody else's brand. And I never in all of these years made even an attempt to define what is my brand? What is Raw Creative? I mean, your friends can describe you to a T, right? They know you really well. But if you had to say, I am X, Y, and Z,
right,
could you do it? So I tried to make a commitment at the beginning of the year to just, okay, let me make good on this thing. It was either dump the name entirely or take the brand that I had that most of my friends and business colleagues over the last, you know, 10, 12, 15 years, no, and just try to make something out of it.
Right, and make sure that it's just make sure it's active and doing something for you, you know, no matter what it is. I think it's similar to my Murphonics name, which is just sort of represents me, and it can be, yeah, it's the name of my studio, but it's also the name of my company that I go out and I do my announcing and my freelance work and hosting and all that stuff. It's the company that you write the check to no matter what entity I am at that time. So, you know, it's long as it's doing something for you, it doesn't have to be anything specific. It just sort of remains the umbrella that you live under. So that's a pretty cool thing.
I mean, the funny thing is, though, is like when you sit down, if you're doing something for somebody else and you're doing a radio show on somebody else's radio station or you're writing for some online platform, you know, you have an umbrella that's already been defined for you.
Yeah.
The hardest thing to do is to sit down and define it yourself and say, okay, what am I about? What is my voice about? And it takes, I mean, I, you know, I've done branding and done creative services for all kinds of people before. But man, when it is your own ass that's out there and you're trying to define it, it's really challenging. And you have to have the time. You really have to make a commitment to do it. And
there's two other things you got to have. It's balls and confidence. Yeah. That's the thing.
That's right.
And admittedly, that's been something I've had a little difficulty with over the last few years. And it is tough. I mean, when you get into a position where you have to, you know, put yourself up on a little bit of a pedestal and then battle with the arrogance that could come out of it or overconfidence. And then you battle with little periods of self-esteem issues. You know, it's tough. You got to stay on it because there is a fine line between, you know, determination, productivity, balls, and just cockiness. So you have to walk that fine line, you know.
You want to add something to it too. Is this notion that, you know, for me, for the last 3 or so months, I've been trying to figure out, okay, do I want to get a job with a company? Do I want to create my own work?
Right.
So I'm even more cautious about what position I'm taking. What am I saying? Because the last thing you want to do is put out something that somebody's going to take the wrong way or misconstrue or misunderstand. And you know, it just makes the challenge of trying to define what it is that you're doing, you know, even more challenging. But it's been an interesting experiment these last couple of months trying to define the voice and figure out what it is and what am I doing.
That dynamic that you're talking about, I can relate to it so much. I sort of feel like I'm talking to myself here, Matt. It's so interesting and amazing to discover that, you know, as distant as we've been personally over the year and geographically over the years, that we've fought some of the same battles. One little tiny example of that is to self-promote this show is I have to struggle with, okay, do I want to post another Facebook status on here talking about how cool my show is and thank you for the, and come on and join me here and listen to this and, you know, log on this date. I mean, I try to put myself in the shoes of somebody else seeing that and going, God, this guy is way into himself, you know, because I've had that sort of reaction to other people when I see their posts. So, you know, you just have to rise above that kind of thing and do it in a tactful way. And it's a difficult thing to do.
Nail on the head. You have to do it in a tactful way, and you have to do it in a way that makes it interesting to other people. I, you know, here's the thing, man. This is really bad to admit, but my sister is on Facebook, and I got so annoyed with the sort of banality of her Facebook updates, always talking about, like, her, you know, my niece's, like, rashy butt or, you know,
oh boy,
sniffles and allergies. I unfriended her. I was so, like,
your own sister
couldn't handle it.
Oh,
could not handle the banality of it.
Yeah.
But if you know, the thing is look, if you're out there, you're creating something, you're making it interesting, and you're making it about sharing ideas and information, and you make it compelling.
Yeah.
You know, it is self-serving in a way because you're trying to, you know, you're trying to start something, but, you know, it's like you're doing with the show. I mean, you really want to make it about other people.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole thing. This is not going to be a platform for me to discuss my political opinions. I'm not going to get up here and talk about BP and the oil spill and how I feel about it and get on some rant like these political shows do. I'm going to make it about the person I'm talking to. And in fact, the bigger challenge I'm looking forward to, Matt, and you're a professional, so it's a little easier for me to deal with you, but to have that ordinary, everyday school teacher come on and talk about, well, school teacher is probably a bad example because a school teacher is up in front of kids all the time. But,
you know, if you wanted to get an ordinary, everyday school teacher, my my sister would be happy to talk to you. She's the assistant principal at Beach High in Miami Beach. And she'd probably also talk to you about my niece's
I was going to say, I don't know if she'd come on the show now that she's heard how you that you befriended her on or defriended her on Facebook. We have a lot of things in common, and I wanted to make sort of the theme of today's show a little geeky and a little techie, so that the people that we like chatting with about audio equipment and Pro Tools and computer programs and microphones and putting promos and commercials together could enjoy. We've done sort of the same thing. I've kept an eye on you. It sounds like you did some really exciting stuff for CNN. I take it you're a Pro Tools guy like me as well, right? Are you using that platform mostly for your audio stuff?
I am a Pro Tools guy through and through.
There you go.
There was actually a point in the late 90s where I had evolved back to a PC, and I was using a program that was sort of native PC, but it was really sort of a Pro Tools ripoff. It was called Paris.
Okay.
And it was interesting because it had sort of an outboard mixing console type thing. It was, you know, it definitely predated the Digio 2 and the Digio 3 thing, that sort of Huey
nice.
That everybody's used to now.
Wow.
And they finally got Pro Tools for PC up to a level of competency. I went towards that platform, and I've never looked back.
That must have been version 5.1, probably the same time I started.
I think it was like around the 5.0. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I was PC for the first few years that I was doing it here, and just last year I finally just broke down and got a Mac Pro with the quad processor, the whole deal, and now I'm running Pro Tools 8.0, and now I see what everybody was talking about.
Well, for all those people that are so precious about the Mac platform, listen, you know, you're preaching to the choir here. I'm talking to you on an iPhone.
There you go.
I have a Mac Pro that I just put into service back in December of this year. The reality is a Mac is built on PC parts now. They're built on Intel chips.
That's true.
So, you know, it's all the same crap, just with a different thing on it. And you know what? It doesn't matter, you know, how slick or sweet your Mac is. If you haven't got the skills, you haven't got an ear, your precious Pro Tools on Mac is going to sound like crap.
You're absolutely right.
Unless you know what
you're doing. The number one prerequisite is the ear, and the number two is your skills. Aside from that, The program is not going to make you any better of a producer than anybody else. So,
hey, can we geek out for a second about Pro Tools 8? Because I'm still using the Digio 2 Huey. You know, it was mostly just kind of a financial consideration. It was like, well, I'm going to throw the money into the PC and the media server. Are you using the 003 native interface for Pro Tools 8?
I am not. I am on an. In fact, I'm on a 002 rack that I bought, my original one. I'm a mouse guy. I'm all over it with the mouse. I've never had a Huey. I never went with Pro Control or the Pro Tools HD systems. However, I did take my 002 rack and send it to Chicago to the Black Lion Audio people and had them gut it and put new clocks, converters, and preamps inside it, and you just can't believe the difference. I think sound-wise, a final product, I've mixed a couple of albums on here and been in mastering studios where the guys said, this sounds phenomenal. It sounds as good as stuff that I've heard in here that's been done on HD. So the clarity is amazing. I mean, it's, again, it requires your skill and your ear to make it sound that way, but the path that all the audio is running through is so clean and so wide, it was so worth it. I think it cost about $800 or $900 to do that. So that's what I did.
Here's the thing that always interests me when you talk to studio geeks, like yourself, you know, and the thing is you've been at this a while now, so you come, like me, from the analog set. You come from a world of tape. You come from a world of outboard analog gear.
Well, in all fairness, just really in the radio realm, I was never really a producer doing music per se on analog, but I've been in bands where I've been in those situations, and I've worked with some engineers. Yes, so I have seen the transformation. Yes.
You've been in that studio situation. You know what that's all about. You've recorded in those environments. So, you know, there's literally a generational line between guys like us who have that sort of analog set fundamentals, and then you've got these other guys who are all digital, and they do everything with software. Everything's a patch. Where do you sit? How much outboard gear do you have rolling into Pro Tools?
Well, I don't have anything on the back end. I make sure that I've got an Avalon 737 whenever I've got a mic turned on in my studio. I've got another DBX tube compressor preamp that I use on the front end, but nothing on the back end. Now, I'm not running through like any mix buses or analog, you know, summing buses or anything like that. It would be nice, but, you know, I don't feel the need. There's so many. I mean, it would be great. And we're just talking about tens of thousands of dollars difference. You know what I mean?
But I think that also gets back to my point, too, where it's like, you know, you can have, you know, the most screaming Mac and processing and all the software tools. And the reality is, if you don't have the ear or the skills or the experience to know how to kind of tweak and
right.
and play around and experiment, it's, you know, you're not going to get the result that that you think you're going to get.
Again, we strike a similar chord with each other, and it seems like we have really been doing similar things over the years. It's amazing how fast, I'm discovering now, only 3 days into this show, it's amazing how fast 30 minutes goes by. It's incredible. We're over right now, and of course, we'll go for a couple more minutes. I don't know exactly how I'm going to ask you what it is that that I want to touch on next. And again, I don't know if it's even easy to put it into words, but I've been a production director for radio stations and been, you know, put in that position to come up with something creative once in a while. You have been too. You know, we both work with musicians where we're trying to create something that has something that's never been heard before. Now, to me, this is one of the most difficult things about being creative. I consider myself to be an executor. If someone tells me they've got a project, they give me the idea, they give me the place to start, I can take it and run with it. If somebody comes to me with a song and they want me to co-write it with them and they've got something that they've started to do, I can help finish it. It's coming up with that original great idea, whether it's music, whether it's a television promo or a radio promo, where you come up with that initial idea and make it shine like something that's never been done before, like trying to write a song that hasn't been sung before. Where do you reach, and again, I know how difficult it might be to crystallize, and it's just as difficult as it is for me to ask it. Where do you go to get that sort of creativity where you want something that is going to, from the second it's listened to or watched, it's going to be, wow, this is amazing. I've never seen this before.
You know, this is going to sound a little too, maybe a little too touchy-feely and probably more metaphysical than you know, you might expect to hear from me, but I swear, man.
Matt, I do expect to hear that from you. Let's put it that way.
The best stuff that I do, whether it's writing, whether it's, you know, solving a creative problem in video, whether it's coming up with music, is stuff that happens in the moment. You know, just to take it to music, there's a guy that I play with down here who used to be, you know, with a touring band called Two Cent, just a remarkable guitarist. And one of the things that has been really sort of fruitful for us is just getting together and just working out and just chatting and just jamming.
Right.
You know, when I write in a vacuum, I always end up sort of like, you know, hearing things or playing things that feel kind of familiar. One, because I'm really sort of limited in terms of like my chord playing. I'm more of a bass player.
Okay.
But when I have somebody to collaborate with and I can just kind of roll and bounce off of something, it's in that moment where I'm not thinking about what I'm playing or thinking about what's next,
mm-hmm.
where a transition will come or a riff will come and it's just playing.
I totally understand that and I totally relate to that, and I've been in that position too. And again, to try to take this a step further, how does that translate into the video production studio, the Avid Suite, the Pro Tools studio, where the radio program director tells you want this promo to sound like nothing that's been on before? Where does it come from when you're in that type of situation?
You know, I think for me, the what's always kind of worked for me is to not say I have the right answer. The only right answer. I just have the best answer that I can give you.
Right.
I have I'll work to the peak of my the peak of my capability and try and deliver something to the best of my skills. And sometimes it's just fighting it out. Sometimes it's getting an extra cup of coffee and just kind of working and tweaking and experimenting and playing.
Right.
And just, you know, woodshedding and locking yourself in that room. And sometimes it's going out back and coming back in and feeling a little more free with the creativity. Lord knows, when we were at She, man, that that back lot where the cattle were, where the transmitter was a great source of creative inspiration for me.
Yeah, it was very inspirational to be on the air and hear a huge knock on the door and go to the side door and have a large cattle standing there that's been ramming its head into the door. The stories that we have from the trailer park, and this is just going to be fun digging up all these personalities and people that we worked with and sharing those stories. It was a great time. We were at a radio station that was in a different sort of version than the rock icon that it was the years prior, but we still had fun and we worked with some great people. Matt, you have a wealth of information to share with me. I think that's going to mean that somewhere down the road, a month or two later, maybe later in the summer, we can have another half hour where we can chat stuff up and go in completely other directions. And it's been a lot of fun talking with you today. And I hope this is the start of a friendship rekindled.
I you know what? Me too, Bill. I think I would love to participate on this new endeavor. And I applaud you, man, for having the balls and the confidence to try it. And I wish you nothing but the best. And, you know, once the show gets rolling, man, I'm happy to help promote it and share it and do that social network thing. And I'm just curious to keep my eye on it and see where you go and see how you grow with a new outlet, man. Cheers to you, brother.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. And again, you can help share that if I know you have Raw Creative and other ways to get the word out there. All I'm asking for is a link now and then. So I'm sure I can count on you to point people in the direction of The Bill Murphy Show, located at BillMurphyShow.com. The daily podcast, Matt West has been our guest. You can find out more about him and read his blog at RawCreative.com. Hopefully that'll force him to put even more content on there now that he'll have all these listeners flocking to the site. Matt West, our guest today. Who knows what we have in store? Oh, tomorrow will be our first edition of Music Fridays. Every Friday, another musician. You can get on here and promote your gigs and albums. And we're going to leave it a surprise for now on who's going to be joining us tomorrow on The Bill Murphy Show, the daily podcast at BillMurphyShow.com.
Log on each weekday for another edition of The Bill Murphy Show at BillMurphyShow.com. If you'd like to be a guest, send an email to Murph at BillMurphyShow.com. That's M-U-R-P-H at BillMurphyShow.com. 8 Murphonics Media Production.